On this episode of Japan 2.0,
I was recently told that I probably have cancer in Japan. So I'm going to talk about that process. Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. I'm recording this episode that may never see the light of day. I'm kind of notorious when I do podcasts alone of not ever releasing them, mainly because I think a person who podcasts alone is like one step away from being self-indulgent, or sometimes like the ramblings of a madman. So I guess ultimately for me, if I don't feel it ends up really deepening an understanding about Japan on a hopefully like deeper level, or doesn't come across as entertaining or something, I just cut them. But anyway, as the title of this episode gives a spoiler, I was recently told that I probably have cancer in Japan. So I'm going to talk about that process, hopefully throughout. And again, I think that hearing about maybe an extreme situation, such as having cancer in a foreign country where you don't speak the language, will give you a deeper understanding of Japan in some way. In a way that I think would be quite unique to the way that other people are covering Japan. I'll give a disclaimer that we often give on this show, but I think it's going to be a key issue for some of the issues I'm going to touch on, which is that I don't speak Japanese well, barely at all. And if I did, and I should, because I live in Japan, this whole process would be a lot easier, and maybe I would be more positive on the whole process. So I do definitely realize that. You know, as always, this is just my opinion and my experience and what I'm taking away. And I think in some way, one person's opinion and experience does reflect a country and a culture. Although, you have to be aware that there's obviously multiple perspectives on that. So yeah, this kind of all starts back, and I guess what I'll go into in, talking about Japan is, like, most companies here require a yearly health check, which for me was different from anywhere else I had ever worked in the U.S. before Japan. And it's probably important to know that I have three big fears in life. I'm afraid of spiders. I guess I have four now. This one never really came into play. But now that I live in Japan, I'm afraid of earthquakes and natural disasters. I just hate how you just no way to prepare. There's no way to know, in any moment it could be this earthquake. Having a child also increases that one. So that's a newer one. The other ones are kind of age-old ones. I'm afraid of flying, which again is a bit ironic, being that I live on an island now. And I'm afraid of doctors, and in particular, cancer, being told by a doctor I have cancer. And it's one of the reasons my whole life I've always avoided doctors, is that I just feel they're going to tell me I have cancer. Now, all of these fears are illogical, maybe besides the earthquake one. I know the facts. I know, obviously, if you go to a doctor often and they identify cancer early, you're going to be better off. I know that flying in an airplane is safer than a car, but like I said, they're illogical fears, things that I can't just wrap my head around, where emotion takes over logic. So that being said, I've avoided doctors my whole life. The first time I ever went to a hospital or a doctor, besides being born and getting my first immunization shot, I had a bad reaction to the very first immunization shot. So my mom kind of turned a cold shoulder to like Western medicine, and she was always a naturalist, but she's always practiced like natural healing on me, acupuncture, something called Reiki, which is like an energy healing. I wouldn't say that I'm super into those things or anything, or I'm a huge believer of them. But as a kid growing up, that stuff seemed way easier and better than going to a scary doctor. So that's how I grew up. That's like my foundation, you know. And when I was released into the world as an 18-year-old, I kind of just kept avoiding doctors. And luckily, I've always been very healthy. I don't even get the common cold very easily, only every couple of years. A lot of that had to do with the American healthcare system and not having healthcare offered as well. So, like I said, the first time I really went to a doctor was in Korea. I had to go get an annual health check out there. So it's very similar to Japan in that way. So I was at about the age of 24. So I worked there for a couple of years and had to get annual health checks. And I dreaded them and hated them and pass out every time they take blood. And but in Japan, all that's required, at least to be a teacher and to be on the kind of health insurance I have, which is like private teacher health insurance, is a tuberculosis check, which is a lung x-ray. So when I heard that, I was very happy to skip the medical exam. So I was always just getting a tuberculosis check. Once I had a child, though, I kind of felt the need to maybe be more responsible and be an adult and start getting this annual health check. So at this point, I've only had that annual health check twice. I'm 33 years old. So I had the first one when I was 31. And at the very end of the health check, we had like a little meeting with the doctor. And she did mention that there was maybe like a lump in my throat, but she wasn't really specific about it. And I honestly walked away. Her English is good. I don't know if I can say it all the way it comes down to language. I just assumed she's talking about my Adam's apple. Because that's like where she pointed. She didn't really make it seem urgent. She asked if I, you know, she ran through this list of symptoms, which now is a list of symptoms I'm very familiar with. Still to this day, I don't have these symptoms with things like losing hair or sweating or losing or gaining weight. Or feeling tired, which I don't have. I didn't have then either. So she said, okay, well, if you don't feel any pain or any of those things, you know, maybe it's just like a swollen lymph node or something. So then the next year when I'm 32, comes up again and she just says, you know, you still don't have those symptoms and there's no pain, but it's not a swollen lymph node. If you have had it twice now, when I check you once a year, you should probably just go get it checked out. Well, being afraid of doctors and stuff and being very healthy, I didn't take urgency on that. It took me about 6 months before I went to go see a local doctor in town here who typically doctors in Japan speak decent English and definitely medical English. So you can just talk about the medical term. You know, you can say things like thyroid cancer and they can generally say yes or no, you know. So this doctor, his English was lower than normal, very, very local doctor. And he just wrote down on a piece of paper, like, thyroid. And I kind of said, like, I don't think that's my thyroid that I feel there. Oh, yeah, I got to take a step back. Sorry. So I never knew what lump she was talking about, even the second time when she kind of urges me to go see a doctor. And it was like a kind of thing I couldn't shake my mind as she seemed more urgent this time. So about a week later, after that second check, I'm looking in the mirror, and I just happened to swallow. And I see this like golf ball, maybe even bigger than a golf ball sized lump come up and down next to my Adam's apple. And I just like fell to the floor. Like, what? If that looked like an alien or something inside of my body, you know, it was very, very creeped me out. Someone who's already very afraid. I can't even watch like Grey's Anatomy or ER, like just seeing the hospitals freaks me out. So seeing that or having like the first thing go wrong with my body really, man, shook me up. And I had a difficult time shaking it. I thought, even, am I going to tell anybody about this? What am I going to do? So I kind of sat on it for a couple of days, and I remember telling my wife and kind of expecting her to, like, make me go to the doctor. And when she didn't, you know, I'm a grown man. She just said, like, you should go get that checked out. I only told one close friend within that first month of me seeing it or finding it. That was a friend of our podcast, Albert. And, you know, similar to Liz, he just said, like, oh, yeah, you know, he should probably get that checked out. But again, I don't know. I guess I'm a baby when it comes to that stuff, and I need someone to like force me to go. So I didn't go for a long time. So it took me 6 months, and I finally, you know, said, all right, I need to go get this checked out. It was getting uncomfortable, not painful, but just tight feeling. And I have to wear a tie at work, and just, yeah, I felt a bit uncomfortable in there. It's very large. So I go to this doctor, you know, he writes down thyroid, and I wrote like too big on a piece of paper to be thyroid. And then he wrote like tumor ? Saying like, maybe it's a tumor. This is an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Then I wrote cancer ? And he wrote benign ? Like probably benign. So that kind of like soothed me. And I thought, well, if I just have this big benign tumor in there, until it gets too uncomfortable or too unsightly where people can notice it, I'm probably not going to, you know, really go. But I don't know. I guess, again, I just felt – he didn't mention at the end the name of a hospital that I could go get, like, further assistance on. And this is something I kind of want to talk about, that, you know, Japanese health system. You wonder what doctors are like here. If you do come from a country without national healthcare, there's all these negative things that I heard growing up as an American about national healthcare in terms of like wait times, not being able to choose doctors, facilities are bad. So, you know, I really want to do this podcast so you can learn about those things. I won't tell you all my answers to those things now, but it's something I think you'll get to hear kind of holistically, hearing about my experience. So, I just thought, yeah, it's going to be like this month-long process of I'm going to go somewhere. Yeah, they might look at it and say, okay, there's something there. Just like the first guy, send me somewhere else. I'll get a blood test. I'll go back 2 weeks later. You know, maybe I'll have to get a biopsy. And in a month, I'm going to find out what's going on. So long story short, I wait a couple months later, the end of summer, about ready to go back to work in a week. And it's like my last day off. And it's the last day that we can have a babysitter for my child too. So my wife and I planned a date, and I just told her the night before, like, hey, look, I think I want to go get the thyroid thing checked out. I don't want to do it alone. I'm too scared. Can you go with me? And she's kind of like, oh yeah, romantic date. And I was like, can't, we're just going to go. They're going to feel it and tell me to come back. And then we can go to our nice lunch and cafes and, you know, enjoy the rest of our day. So we get there at 10:30 a.m. I can only go there from 8 to 11. So they have 3 hours, and they only let you go Monday through Friday as a first-time visitor. So this is an issue. Everyone works in Japan. So you have to like take off work to go to a place like this. So, you know, that's kind of issue number one or gripe number one. Lucky for me, I don't have a normal job and I had off, but this was my last day to be able to go. So we get there at 10:30, you know, we're just praying they let us in because it's close to the end. They do, and there's like, this is a thyroid hospital specialist, but I would say it's pretty reflective upon most hospitals that I've been to. Not that I'm an expert, although I might become one. Go in, get a ticket. We kind of just tell the lady, first time, like Ichi, like first time. And yeah, she does not speak English, and yeah, our Japanese isn't great. So she gives us a form to fill out, and just right away, you'll know if you live in Japan, you're very thankful when you see a bilingual form or there's English on the form. Because otherwise, you're translating it with your phone the whole time, or maybe you're so unabashed that you'll just ask them to write in things for you. But in this situation, it's a busy hospital. This lady can't sit here and help me. So I was very, very happy that it said English, it was all in English, and that there was an option on there that said, do you speak Japanese, yes or no? If the option's on there, then that to me meant there will be some assistance, you know? I've never seen that on a form before, so I was happy to see that. Also on there, then, it said, how will you pay today, cash or insurance? And those are the only two options. It was a weird translation because you don't like charge it to your insurance. You know, you'd give them your card, and then I assume that would reduce the deductible that you pay. But, you know, I chose the insurance option, and they kind of said like no, and they crossed it off, and they said cash. So I was like, okay, well, it's just like a first time visit. I don't know. Shouldn't really be too expensive or anything. Nothing to worry about. So in terms of language, the worst part happens then now, where you kind of have to get through the first lines of defense before you go see a doctor. And like I said, the doctors have usually some kind of English, and you're fine in every situation I've had. The one I told you before, we're writing on paper, is probably the most difficult one I've had, and it was still enough. But this, you know, first people you have to go through, there was no English there, you know. And she asked, do you speak Scotchy Japanese, Nihongo, like, a little bit? And I was like, Scotchy, mecha Scotchy, like, really small. So we're going through it, and she's asking questions, and she's, like, pulling people over, and they're all kind of like, no, we don't speak English. And they have this real deer in the headlights look. Like, she grabs them, and they come over and look, and kind of inch away. And I don't know, I have some friends that really get bothered by that stuff. I get it. For me, I totally get it. It's an awkward situation. You have to charade your way through. And honestly, after like 20 minutes of this with this lady, I just thought, yeah, the guy said it's probably benign. Let's just go home. Like, I don't want to go through all this. It's awkward. I feel bad. I'm inconveniencing all these people. But my wife is like, no, we're here. We're going to get the answer. You finally came to a hospital. We're going to do this. So we power through, and we go upstairs, and there's this, like, this young girl, like, nurse, like, almost waiting for me. She's like, what's your name? And, I mean, there's 100 people up there. She comes up to me and says, what's your name, out of the crowd? And I give her my name, and she's like, okay, yes, please, this way. So they must call her up. She must be the resident English speaker. So she, super nice. Then I go to see, like, another doctor right away and tell her about the problems, and she speaks really good English too. So I'm thinking, like, all right, I think the worst is over, you know. Again, I just thought that this day I'm just going to be reschedule again in the future and start this whole process. I ended up being there until 4:30, so about 6 hours. And yeah, I mean, I went in and eventually met the real doctor. He just touched my throat very quickly and just said, yes, there's something there. Ha, 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 ha. And he had a really weird demeanor, very not normal Japanese demeanor. I don't know. I guess you could say that it's the language and speaking English. It makes him, like, have, like, some kind of nervousness, you know? I mean, I was definitely out of my element there in hospitals and stuff, and I don't know. I feel when you're nervous, there's other ways to act than to, like, kind of laugh or grin. And little did I know that this man would be very important to me in my life. Basically, what had happened was he told me I'm going to have to go get a biopsy to find out if this thing is cancerous or not. And that would have to be done by sticking a long needle into my neck. And I definitely said, whoa, like, okay, what? And he's like, don't worry. It's just a small needle. It's long, but it's not going to hurt. It's not a big deal. And I just kind of felt, this guy's really disregarding my feelings. And maybe to him, it's not a big deal. But I think I did it in the most mature way, let him know that this isn't something that was going to be easy for me. And I definitely didn't really feel comforted there. And yeah, so it was off to a weird start with this doctor. Like I said, I was there for about 6 hours, and, at the end of the day, I go in, wait a very long time. That's something with public health care. It's very crowded. It's hard to find a seat while you're waiting, and you're just sitting there and waiting for an hour to 2 hours to get results, sometimes longer. And they give you this little Navi system. It's like a necklace you wear with a small LCD screen on it, and it will just tell you like which floor you should be on and which room of that floor and where you should be going. And when it has you do these really long wait times, it doesn't really update you or tell you how many people are ahead of you, which is kind of annoying. I feel like it could do that. It just says, let us know if you're going to leave the hospital. So anyway, yeah, we went in that day at around 10 o'clock, and around 4 o'clock that same day, we get called in, and I walk in, and the doctor told me, oh, yes, okay, you have this kind of tumor. I don't remember the name of it. It's complicated, and a normal biopsy can't really tell us if you have cancer. However, it's probably cancerous. In those words, you probably have cancer or probably cancerous, really stuck with me, obviously, and are hard words to forget, and that moment will definitely be kind of ingrained in my mind, but also I've kind of blacked it out of my memory too, and the details are foggy. I actually am recording this now after the operation has been done. Maybe you can tell a slight change in my voice, because I wasn't really sure if I was going to do this podcast or not. Number one, because I have some critical things to say, and I always have a hard time being critical of Japan, especially because I'm not Japanese and I don't speak the language, and there's a lot of factors in there. And I'm just generally an optimistic kind of person, and I'm not super critical of things. But I think it's important to be said, and we've had a request from a couple of our listeners to talk about this experience, especially how it will show about Japanese healthcare. So now that I've had the operation and things have seemingly are okay, I'll explain more later about when I'll know for sure if things are 100% okay or not. I've kind of decided I'll go through with the podcast, so I'm coming back in to fill in this last part of that day the best I can remember it. But you know, my wife kind of took over at that point after he said those words, probably cancer. And now the guy's English is pretty good. You know, I'd say he has like 70% fluency. So his vocabulary is there. He has a slight accent and he has to think a bit with his words and have some pauses. But up until that point, you know, I didn't feel when he said probably cancer, in my mind, that meant probably cancer. And to me, the word probably means, you know, 70% or higher. So that's where we left it, and I just asked, oh, can I sit down for a second and kind of take this in? And this is where I kind of have to get critical of things, is he just started, like, laughing. It didn't seem like a nervous laughter. Like, other points of that day, you know, there have been awkward moments where I had to like take off my shirt and I took it off at the wrong time and I'm shirtless when I'm not supposed to be, and there's awkward laughter, and I totally get that, and that's warranted, and I'm laughing too, you know. But you know, being told that you have cancer, I feel like is definitely the last time in the world you want to laugh, one of the last times. And I just said, like, well, I, you know, this is obviously a shock to me. I hope you can understand that. And he was very much like, oh, but you're young and it's not, you know, it's not a huge deal and the survival rates are very high. And he didn't go in and like give me numbers. And I later I've gone and looked up, and if you have thyroid cancer, depends what stage it's in, but generally it's like a 99% survival rate or 98%. And you don't have to get chemotherapy. You just take a pill every day and, you know, your life isn't too drastically affected. It's, if you're going to have cancer, it's, you know, one of the ones that you would want. There's a Curb Enthusiasm episode which they refer to as good cancer or bad cancer. And obviously there's no such thing as good cancer, but relatively it's a good one. But yeah, he didn't go on and explain any of that, you know? So to me, I'm just thinking like, I'm going to lose my hair and be puking from chemo and this is my life now. And yeah, he just told me, don't worry about it, and was laughing. And yeah, I mean, I thought I interpreted it that way, and I walked out and my wife was really upset and really mad, and she's like, I can't believe that guy, that's how we got told this. And yeah, we were obviously really bummed and about, and walked home and we're sad, but I kind of just said, all right, well, I don't know. This next week, we had to come back in a week later to get the results of this biopsy of probably cancer. And from that moment on, I just said, well, this is my last week where I'm going to ignorantly think everything's okay and I don't have cancer. And I'm just going to, this is my last week to kind of live my life normally as I can. And things went well, and I had a good week and kind of just ignored it and didn't really tell anyone except for really, really close family and friends. And I started to get really nervous about one or two nights before we were supposed to go back in and get those results. First of all, like, I just didn't want to deal with this guy again and his attitude and just making me feel like I was in the wrong, or I don't know how to put it. It just made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. And this would be the person who would, everyone else is so nice and so cool at this hospital. And yet the one person who I felt did something bad to me was the one I needed the most, you know? And I did all my research and it's the best hospital. He was the best guy for the job. He's done it the most. He's the most veteran surgery performer, surgeon here. So, now, during this time, I had told, my school has a nurse on retainer. I told some people, and they had all said, look, that is not normal. Like, do you want us to contact this hospital? This hospital is supposed to have a great reputation, and, you know, I'm really disappointed to hear that, and I'll contact them and let them know you're disappointed. And I was like, no. Like, I don't want to cause any trouble, but it made me feel good to know that, you know, that wasn't normal. And just this guy's bedside manner, it's a bit weird. And from my first impression, you know, before he was telling me anything too serious, I got a really weird feeling from him. So anyway, I'm going to kind of finish this first part here, talking about going back in and this experience of going through something so serious in a country that's not my own, in a country where I barely understand the language. So we go back, and I think I'm going to get this big answer, and I'm expecting to be told I have cancer, and I've been trying to deal with that all week. And we go in, pretty much same as the first time, while waiting around. We get called in, and I get told, well, we don't know. The kind of tumor we have is very complicated. The only way we can know if it's cancerous is to remove it and then to analyze it for about a month, and then we can tell you. The way it is it was attached to my thyroid, and it was such a large tumor that they have to remove about half of the thyroid with it. So obviously there's complications there that could happen. Although, like I said, I'm recording this segment now afterward and things seem to be going okay there. But I waited a whole week to not have another answer and kind of to be told that I was going to have to wait until December to get a real answer and have surgery. Then I went in further and I was like, all right, I've been living with these words. You told me probably cancer for this week. And man, it's really done a number on my mental state. And I was like, so what do you mean probably? Like, can you kind of give me a rough number? And he said, probably means 50-50. Like, we don't know. There's a chance. And I was like, oh, there's a chance that you have cancer and you probably have cancer are very, very different things. So maybe you can tell my attitude about this whole thing has been quite positive. And that's because as I've been recording this, I know that hopefully, no, I mean, it's a big guess, but I'm going on this conversation, this follow-up conversation, that it's a 50-50. It's a chance that it could be cancerous. So that's where I am. To clear that up, in about one week period, I was told, you probably have cancer. I was laughed at when I asked to sit down and take it all in. And then a week later, I was told, well, we don't know, but there's a chance. It's like 50-50. So 50-50 is something I can handle. And I even feel like with my experience with Japan, and this is kind of where I want to get in on Japanese healthcare a bit, is when we were having our son, we really want to know the gender. And they would not firmly tell us the gender. They would say things like, it might be a boy, or it could be a boy, or maybe you want to buy a blue bed sheet. That's the story we heard from someone else. But we would get told, like, it might be a boy. And we ended up having a son. But the idea is that I think they can't say absolutes here. That Japanese, and this is a massive generalization, but just from my experience in these two things, you can't say like, yeah, you probably, there's a low chance of cancer. There's a small chance here. I think you want to give people the worst case scenario, which would be not knowing the gender. So there's no expectation there. Or, you know, being told, well, you could have cancer. And then later when you're told you're not, okay, well, I'm giving you good news. But if they, you know, have to tell you, do you have cancer? They're like, well, yeah, I told you that. It's kind of a saving face thing. This is my interpretation from my experience. I can't say that's totally true. That's how I'm taking it. That's how I think, maybe it's how I have to take it to stay positive too. Yeah, so that's something you should know is getting the nitty gritty details, especially when it's not in the people's native language, matters. And these are situations where the difference between 50% and 70% to me make a huge difference. So that's kind of the theme of this first part here is the accountability or responsibility or commitment of telling you something with the medical procedure from what I've experienced in Japan may be different from your home country, and you get more of a muddy, wishy-washy, non-committal answer in my experience. Anyhow, that's the end of this first part. In part two, I'm going to talk to you about 2.5 months later about my final days before I got the big surgery. So stay followed to keep up with this journey about the ins and outs of the medical system of Japan.
I'm not 光が矢根、水をください。